Blog Talk Radio.
Fasten your seatbelts and put your foot on the gas. The Red Light Sports Network presents the Red Light Sports Ramble.
They say it's cool and that, but I don't. They probably don't really think it's that cool.
With Troy Otradovic.
He is really good.
And Evan Witalison.
He's awesome.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Red Light Sports Ramble. I am Troy Otradovic, joined by the marvelous Evan Witalison in the great state of Wisconsin. Evan, as I put in the show, we don't know who the World Series champion is going to be yet, but as I am usually bad luck, I'm saying the Chicago Cubs are about ready to become World Series champions. They're five outs away. I think it's a done over Kabish. They're going to be World Series champions. I don't think the Indians are coming back in five outs. But how are things in the great state of Wisconsin?
Well, Chicago Cubs fans, you can email Charles Trotovic at the Red Light Sports Network at gmail.com for all your angry tweets and dislike with Troy trying to do his jinx. So that's where you can send hate mail. No, I'm doing good. It's been a pretty – I missed the first couple innings due to work, and I don't have it on right now because I'm doing the show. But it's been a pretty good game so far. Some questionable managerial decisions, which we'll talk about in a minute. But things are going well. It's pretty much been off and on raining here all day, which has been quite annoying because my full-time job, I don't start work till 11. So I get to the parking lot. It's downpouring. The only parking spot left is the furthest parking spot away you could get from the building. That's where I got to park. So then I got to run to the building or walk to the building in downpouring rain. I leave work today, downpouring rain. I have to walk all the way out to the furthest parking spot away from the building. So rain has not really been my friend today. So, but otherwise, I'm doing well, and I want to let the listeners know really quick. There's a new program that I'm starting on Monday. It's called Cord to Force. It's a MMA-inspired workout program. So you do a bunch of kicking and punching and knee strikes and things like that. So it's an MMA training, pretty much. And here's the cool thing. It's going to work out the core. It's going to basically be a full-body workout, but it focuses on the core, the stomach area. And I saw pictures of people that were in what's called the test group because before Beachbody puts any new products out on the market, they run them through an extensive test group to see what kind of results people get. And people saw some amazing results in just 30 days. And the other cool thing, too, they have a contest going on right now. You shoot a one-minute video or less of you doing core to force, and you have an opportunity to win $1,000. All you got to do is do a couple hashtags, and boom, you're eligible to win. They're Beachbody and Carr Daikeler are giving away $1,000 a day for the entire month of November. So I think there's 30 days in November, so 30 people will be winning $1,000 this month. And that could be you if you want to give it a try. And if you do want to give it a try, all you got to do is just shoot me an email, coachevan66@gmail.com. Again, that's coachevan66@gmail.com. If you want more information, you can win $1,000. You can be included in the Cord to Force infomercial. So, when you're watching TV late at night or early in the morning, and you see those infomercials on for the Beachbody programs, you could be in it. So, again, coachevan66@gmail.com. So, back to you, Troy. How are things going on in Western PA?
Well, no rainy day out here. It was another beautiful, what I consider summer day. It was another short day, actually. I actually went outside today and went, man, it's hot out today. And it's November 2nd. I had to double-check my phone and make sure it was really November. I didn't know if I pulled the Rip Van Winkle and slept all the way through winter. That's how nice it was today. And it's just amazing how the weather changes quickly and often. But you have to enjoy these warm weather days because, you know, for all I know, it could snow next week. You never know when you live in the climates that we live in. But, you know, just another great day. And, you know, World Series going on, just to fill in everyone. Joe Maddon has decided to make a change with one out in the bottom, or two outs in the bottom of the eighth. So Indians trying to mount a rally, but like I said, it's done. It's over. Chicago Cubs are World Series champions of 2016. That's a done deal. There's not even any hope at this point. But we have a great show tonight, Evan. The World Series itself, it's still unfolding, as we talked about. We talked about it earlier and a couple things going on here in this game, and you look at such a pivotal Game 7. I mentioned this as I was talking about the World Series leading up to the start of the game, and my concern was Corey Kluber, and everybody's like, oh, he's a beast. He can handle it. He can pitch. It's his third game in 9 days. And the minute that everybody's like, oh, Kluber will take care of business, I referenced my Brewer fan letdown. And for those that are Brewer fans listening in, and I think you know where I'm going with this, Evan, a little different situation because they used Sabathia at the end of the regular season just to get in the playoffs. But if you remember back to the Sabathia days when the Brewers had him and made that playoff run, they tried a similar situation, and I know it's not exactly the same, but when every time now in the postseason when I see the horse on short rest, I think of the Brewers' experiment with CC Sabathia and the amount of stress that you put on a pitcher, and he can go out and carry you and carry you, but at some point you're just going to lose your stuff. And it happened to Brewer fans, and you know, I looked at Kluber today, and he wasn't sharp in the first inning, gave up a leadoff home run, and he just wasn't as dominating as he has been in the past couple of starts. And some of that you have to give to arm fatigue. And you had mentioned before the show, they left him in a little bit too long. Now, you're pitching a guy 3 times in 9 days as a starting pitcher, Evan, and how much did you really expect to get out of him? When he starts getting in trouble and you notice he doesn't have his good stuff, I think you got to make a move. I know your bullpen's been overworked also, but this is such a pivotal game, and I think it cost Francona in this game by trying to stay and hoping that Kluber could just will his way to more outs, and it just didn't happen.
No, it didn't, and now we get Aroldis Chapman in to try to close it off for the Cubs, which I'm not really sure how big of a fan I am of how often the Cubs have been using him now for the past 3 games. So, and I'll get to that in a second. But Kluber, you know, this is his second start in a row that he's throwing on 3 days rest. Pitchers typically don't pitch well on 3 days rest. And, yeah, Kluber pitched well his last start, but you're asking a lot. And then Miller, who's pitched a lot too. And you know, when we talked about this series, when I originally said Cubs in, part of the reason why I was talking about Cubs in five, part of the reason why is the depth that the Cubs have. The Cubs have a lot of depth on this team in the pitching department. Yeah, the bullpen's not the strongest for the Cubs, but they have a lot of depth, and the Indians don't. And they found out today that they don't have that depth with, Kluber and Miller. Now, I talked about one managerial move I wasn't a big fan of, and that was Kluber. You know, they should have just had Kluber go about 3 innings and then moved on to the next guy. Doesn't necessarily be the first 3, but that's how they should have done it if they really wanted to use the approach that they did. But, you know, Francona, and up until tonight, all the moves have worked. But they didn't work tonight. And, you know, the Cubs made a move to Troy that even if the Cubs end up winning this game, to me it was the wrong move. And that was when Kyle Hendricks, he started the game, and it was in the fifth inning, and he's only at about 54 pitches. He gets a runner on base, and they go to John Lester. And what did Lester ultimately end up doing? Giving up 2 runs on a wild pitch. Yeah, the Cubs got a home run back from the ageless wonder, and in their catcher, but they put Lester in, and Lester gave up the two runs, and now the Indians just scored again to make it 6-4 after a double on a Chapman fastball. And I don't know what they're showing on Fox, Troy, but I have it on my computer right now, MLB.com, and I'm looking at his fastballs. He has 98, 97, 100, 99, 97, 97. So I'm wondering if he's dealing with some arm fatigue, because when you throw consistently at 103, 104, when you start throwing it, and I know 97, 98, 99 are still pretty hard, but it's quite a drop off after, when you've been seeing 104. So, but I didn't agree with Madden's change going with Lester. I think he should have kept Hendricks in the game longer. You know, he was on his usual rest. And he was cruising. He didn't have a bad pitch count, and they decided to make the change. So win or lose tonight for the Cubs, I think it was the wrong move there. So, but this series, we've seen, in my opinion, Troy, a lot of overmanaging. And that's what Madden did when he took Hendricks out. Francona's been doing it all series. But sometimes you just got to let people play baseball. Let them do what you're paying them millions upon millions of dollars a year to do. Just let them play. But I've seen a lot of overmanaging in this series. And, you know, it's been a pretty good series overall, but the overmanaging, it hasn't been either team in the butt yet. But now we're at game seven, and I'm wondering if the overmanaging is going to bite like Francona, but, you know, who knows? So, any final thoughts on the World Series before we switch to some Minnesota Vikings talk?
Well, you know, Evan, there was a move made yesterday where they pitched Chapman, and I know that the Indians scored a run yesterday that meant nothing on the scoreboard. Bringing Chapman in today, I think it gave him confidence yesterday that, hey, we can get runs off this guy, and they just proved it. They just got a run. And you mentioned that, okay, it's 97-98, but he's used to throwing triple digits. This guy's arm has to be getting tired also. He threw a number of pitches yesterday, and now you're bringing him in again to close the game, and he's just missing on the outside corner as I'm watching on Fox. And these guys are dialed into this guy because Chapman's a fastball pitcher. He's not going to fool you a whole lot. He's going to come with the juice. And this guy has been throwing pitch after pitch after pitch, and Rashi Davis now is fighting off and following off pitches, making Chapman throw more pitches, and he just fouled off another ball. Every time that happens, Chapman has to dial up again, and that arm at some point is going to fatigue. And that's why I said yesterday, pitching Chapman in a game that they had a huge lead, I think was a wrong move by Joe Maddon. And giving up a run yesterday, it didn't matter on the scoreboard. But the psyche of the Indians are like, hey, we can get to this guy. We can score runs, and they just did it. And now Rashi Davis is fighting pitch after pitch and making Chapman throw more pitches. And if they keep him in the ninth, who knows what can happen. But like I said, this is done. This is over.
Another run just scored.
It's out of here. Okay, well, now it's tied up. And so the Cubs are still World Series champions, Evan. So it goes back to what I was just saying. Chapman's fastball is not where it was when Chapman is Chapman. And the confidence they gained yesterday by scoring runs, and now Rashi Davis has just tied this game up. And Joe Maddon has to be kicking himself in the rear. He shouldn't have pitched Chapman yesterday. So that's what I'm going to say. Now we got a new ball game, Evan. It's 6-6. And, you know, at this point, I'm not sure what else we can say about the World Series other than to just enjoy.
Well, I just want to make one more comment.
Yeah, go ahead.
Go ahead. And I always want to make one more comment on Chapman, and I've been saying it on Twitter, I've been saying it on the show. One of the things that makes Chapman so good, one of the things that makes him so dangerous is you don't see him very often. You don't see him very often. You can't time up his stuff. You can't time up his throws, his velocity, because you only see him in the ninth inning, only. You only ever see him in the ninth inning. And now you're using him for multiple batters. You're using him for multiple innings. You know, 40 pitches the other night, and now he gives up another hit. 40 pitches the other night, 20 pitches last night. He's up to 15 pitches tonight. And I would say I didn't have a problem with him using
and another base
for
hit, not
maybe,
to interrupt you. Another base hit. I'm sorry to interrupt you.
That's fine. I didn't have a problem with using Chapman last night if it was just to get, I think he came in with two outs just to get that one out, you know, just get that out and then take him out. But Madden's overmanaging, and now we have a ball game, and it looked like the Cubs were going to win the World Series, and now it's looking like it might be going extra. So, and the Indians
well,
Joe
Madden better get his out there, Evan, and take Chapman out of this game because Chapman is giving up hit after hit. I don't know why Joe Madden's even letting him in the game right now. I have a feeling you're going to see another Indian hit right here. I'm watching this game on Fox, and you're seeing Chapman struggle with himself right now. If I was Joe Madden, I would get him out of the game. I mean, you see the facial expression on Chapman, and they are dialed in on this guy. And if I was him, I would take him out right now because I think you're going to see another Indian hit. And now you'll have a guy in scoring position in the bottom of the eighth with a new reliever coming in. So as we watch this game unfold, I know we had some other things we wanted to get to tonight. A little bit of NFL news, Evan, and it hits home in the NFC North, and it is that Norv Turner stepped down as the Minnesota Vikings offensive coordinator, losing two of his top weapons this year in Teddy Bridgewater and Adrian Peterson, but that offense has just been putrid. Not even 300 yards a game, scoring 19.9 points per game. And Norv Turner decided to resign, whether that was a forced resignation or by his own nature. In either case, a Minnesota Vikings offense that has not produced, and Norv Turner has stepped down today. You know, what are your thoughts quickly there on this move that happened in the Minnesota Viking organization?
Very surprising. Very surprising news. So, and I was reading a little bit and, you know, reading up on the situation, and I'm personally getting the impression that although they have a lot of respect for one another in Zimmer and Turner, it sounds like Turner did not have complete reign of the offense. To me, that's just crazy. If that's the reason why Norv Turner left, because he didn't have complete control of the offense, Zimmer, you know, would interfere some time to time and whatnot. To me, that's stupid because Norv Turner, as an offensive coordinator, I'm promising, as an offensive coordinator, he's pretty much been successful anywhere he's gone. Anywhere he's gone, he's been successful as an offensive coordinator. And you're not letting him run the offense fully. You're putting your hand in the cookie jar a little bit and not letting Turner have full reign. If that was the case, to me, that's crazy. And you're a defensive coach. Yes, you're the head coach, but you're a defensive coach. Defense is your specialty. You're a defensive genius. Let the guy who you paid a lot of money to call the offensive plays, let him call the offense. It's that simple. It really is. It's that simple. So it kind of baffled me a little bit. The Vikings are a mess. They are a mess right now. You got the offensive line that is I think a Pee Wee Football League defensive line would get through them right now. They're not blocking. Sam Bradford is completely rattled. He's stepping in the pressure that's not even there, and the running game is non-existent. They got the worst running game in all of football. Even before Peterson got hurt, they had a horrible running game. Even before Peterson's injury, I'm glad I'm not a Viking fan right now with the issues that they're having, and we'll see what effect the Turner resignation has. But the funny thing is, The thing that I find interesting, so I guess Pat Shurmur is going to take over the offensive play. So Tuesdays are typically when teams put the game plan together, and Wednesday is when they install the game plan. Why did Turner step down on a Wednesday? That kind of baffled my mind a little bit. But, yeah, the Vikings are definitely in some turmoil. So that's kind of my thought on it. So what are your thoughts on Turner just abruptly week eight saying peace out on it? Because it's not a health issue. To me, it sounds like, and I'm not saying it is for sure, but to me, it sounds like Turner said it's something that couldn't be fixed. To me, it sounds like Turner and Zimmer were having some disagreements about the offense.
Well, you go back to you had mentioned in your Pooh Ball Award about how Zimmer called his offensive line soft, and I know that Norv Turner is not the offensive line coach, but you're an offensive coordinator. And so I'm thinking there is some turmoil inside the walls. And you brought up a good point about the game plan. I'm thinking what happened is maybe Norv Turner got stripped of some of this. And Norv Turner said, none of this. I'm not having this. I've been in this league long enough, and if that's the way you're going to treat me, I'm out of here. And I think, you know, it happens. You know, I was a coach for a long time. And the Vikings were rolling along, Evan, undefeated, and they still had offensive problems before that. But when you start losing, things escalate. And something that can be brushed under the rug when you're winning comes to the forefront when you lose. And, you know, now they've lost two games, two in a row since the bye, and the offensive woes are going to come to the forefront. You know, you look at this Vikings team, though, Teddy Bridgewater goes down. You lose a big piece of your offense there. But Sam Bradford, to be honest, Evan, I thought he was doing well within the offense. I thought that he was giving them a viable option and protecting the ball for the most part. And like you said, the running game, even with Peterson, was not that great. It all starts up front. And when you don't have a good offensive line, you are going to have offensive woe problems. So, again, it was surprising to see that Norv Turner did step down midway through the season. But I think there's probably some turmoil inside the walls that we knew nothing about, nor will we ever know anything about. They parted ways, and that's probably where they're going to leave it be. I'm looking at the time, Evan, and I want to throw it out. It probably doesn't mean a lot across the board, but I thought it was interesting that you looked at the New England Patriots and this young Jamie Collins kid who I was impressed with, and I think he's an up-and-coming outside linebacker with a lot of potential. All of a sudden, the Patriots decide that they're going to trade him to the woeful Browns for a compensatory third-round pick or possibly fourth-round pick, depending if they get one or not, and just part ways with a guy that I believe has a lot of talent and a guy that can get to the quarterback and played a big key part in the Patriots getting to the Super Bowl. And, you know, this is not to the Super Bowl, but to the playoffs. And Bill Belichick and his system just said, you know what, we are going to get rid of you. Now, I know he's a free agent at the end of the year, and that might have had a little bit to do with it, but how often, Evan, and how surprised were you that the Patriots gave up on a guy that seemed to have a lot of talent and trade to the Browns for a possible third or fourth round draft pick?
Well, it's very, very Belichick-like. Before the season started, there was a move that Belichick made in trading Chandler Jones. Trading Chandler Jones, a very good defensive lineman, outside linebacker hybrid. They traded him to Arizona for a draft pick and a guy they've such cut because Chandler Jones is, I believe, going into the last year of his contract. So they move him. They get a draft pick for him. Because I don't think for Jones they would have got a compensatory pick. So the Patriots, they move him a year early. They don't want to pay him the money, and they want to get something for him. Kind of the same thing with this kid that you're talking about. Kind of the same thing with Collins. And, you know, Collins is a free agent after this year. From my understanding, from what I read, He's asking for, he's going to be asking for a lot of money, almost Von Miller type money. And the Patriots aren't going to pay that money to that position. The Patriots have a structure on how they do things and how they spend their money. And a outside linebacker that in reality cannot rush the passer. He's not a pass rusher at all. He's a pretty good coverage linebacker that can get at the quarterback occasionally, but he's not a pass rush specialist. He's not a pass. You know, he's not the player that Von Miller is. He's not that disruptive guy who Miller is. So he wanted to get something for Collins before Collins demanded top dollar. And he got something for him. He got a third-round pick, possible fourth round for Collins. And Mike Lombardi, who used to be general manager of the Browns and very good friend of Belichick, he really went on he went hardcore defending Belichick and Belichick's decision, saying that Collins was a guy that did a lot of freelancing. He didn't work very hard. He basically played hard when he wanted to. And that was one of the big things about him. And I think the Patriots' concern, one, like I said, they have a certain pay structure for different positions, and his particular position is not one of the top, paid dollars. They traded Richard Seymour, for instance. He was a Pro Bowler at the time, and they traded Richard Seymour. And I think their biggest concern was, if he doesn't play hard all the time right now, what's he going to do when he gets paid serious money? So I think it's basically just let's cut our losses and move on. So it seems like a head scratching move now, but I think at the end of the day, does losing Collins derail the Patriots' hopes of going to the Super Bowl? I say no, because they still got Tom Brady, and it's still the Patriots, it's still Bill Belichick, but it definitely probably weakens the defense a little bit, but. Well, I guess we'll see what happens, as the season goes on the defense does.
Yeah, I agree with you. I wanted to bring it up just because it was a pretty big move that was made, and it's getting a little bit of media attention. But I agree with everything you said. You look at it, you're probably losing him at the end of the year, so why not get something for him now? I know he's saying all the right things going to Cleveland, but he's got to be a little PO'd going to Cleveland, Evan. He definitely can help a horrid Cleveland defense, but I basically think he's in a situation now where he's going to play out the remaining part of what he's got going on with this season. I can't imagine either that the Browns are going to drop franchise type money on him. They've got a lot of needs, and is this a guy that you can build that defense around for franchise money? I would say no. So. I guess where my head scratching comes in is, why did the Browns agree to give up draft picks when they have to rebuild? Because I don't see them, and if they want to give this guy money, great, but I want to get your quick thoughts on there. I mean, is this a big upgrade for the Browns, and do you think that Collins is a guy that the Browns can build their defense around?
Well, the Browns have a lot of money available. Like they don't have a lot of money invested in the team right now. They have a lot of salary cap room, so the Browns have the money to spend. They don't have a franchise quarterback. They don't have a franchise running back. They don't have a franchise wide receiver. They could spend the money on Collins, and I think Collins. I hear that he doesn't play hard all the time, and Albert Haynesworth pops in my head. Joe Johnson pops in my head. When I hear that he doesn't play hard all the time. So I wouldn't give him the money to be a franchise guy. Did he have the potential to? Yeah. But what's he going to do when he gets that big payday? So that's my final thoughts.
Yeah, well, another show in the books, Evan. And, as I said, Cub fans, you gave the email address earlier. I'm sorry I jinxed your Cubs. But, the World Series isn't over. They could still come back and win. The rain was coming down pretty hard just a bit ago. And now, here's another one of those situations, Evan. You're looking at decision-making, and Miller's still pitching. And I'm watching this guy pitch, and the same thing, Hayward's doing the same thing that Rajee Davis did, and he's staying alive.
Well, Cody Allen's in the game now, actually.
Oh, is it? Oh, I'm sorry.
Cody Allen, the closer.
Oh, that's my
but
bad.
But either way, they're using their closer now for multiple innings, which is always the best thing to do.
Yeah, it's one of those things, I'll tell you what, it's exciting baseball. So as we end the show, we're going to be able to watch an exciting game. And I know they said that should this game go to extra innings, as I was watching the Weather Channel before, that there could be a threat of severe weather that rolls in later near midnight. And so, man, wouldn't that be something if we get a game that does go to extra innings and then they got to postpone the game and get a rain delay in game 7? I mean, that certainly would be just
only the Cubs Indians that would happen to.
Yeah, that would be. Everybody's talking about one of these teams is finally going to end their World Series drought, and then we're gonna put a delay on it because we're gonna have to postpone the game due to weather. That would just be the topper on this series of two teams trying to get that first World Series championship in such a long time. But I hope everybody enjoyed the show tonight. For Evan Witalison, I am Troy Otradovic. Tomorrow night, Evan and I will preview the Green Bay Packers. It's Thursday night, so join us tomorrow, 11 o'clock Eastern, 10 o'clock Central. Fasten your seatbelts, put your foot on the gas. Have a great night, everyone.